Hello, and welcome to Victory Podcast.
We talk about everyday life through a faith lens, living in victory.
Well, you submitted questions, and we are here to respond to them. From RD, when is the rapture going to happen?
That's a great question. Oh my goodness.
Age-old Christian question.
Age-old, yeah, since forever.
Yep, since Jesus was around.
Wow. So what is the rapture?
It's a good question. All right, so I did a little bit of research to kind of, you know, get a solid answer of exactly what the rapture is. I feel like we've all grown up in church, or those who have at least, have heard the rapture, which if you've seen a Nicolas Cage movie, is it Nicolas Cage? I don't know. It's this movie where people just disappear. Their clothes are
on the ground.
And cars crashing, airplanes.
Very terrifying.
All the Christians are gone to heaven, the rapture, right? Before these like years of like tribulation. And so the rapture comes from this Latin word, rapturo, which is a rendering from the Greek harpazo, to be caught up. So that is in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And it is this belief that it's this moment where we're taken up to meet Christ. It's like we're taken up.
Yeah.
Taken up.
Okay. Now.
There's nothing about clothes in
there. No, there's no, it's not saying, oh, your clothes are going to be on the ground. Your Christian neighbor's clothes is just going to be like there, you know. Yeah. It doesn't say anything about clothes.
Or the fear that you get left behind. I used to have that fear when I was little of what happens if I'm not Christian enough to go?
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the movies, all the scary movies, all those. So when is it going to happen? That's the real question. And that's the question that was submitted.
Thank you, Artie.
Well, in Matthew 24, it says no one knows the day or the hour.
Matthew 24, 36.
36.
36. However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. And this is talking about the tribulation, the time that Jesus comes back.
Okay.
Yeah, no one knows.
No one knows. But I think one thing that I want to add on to there is that there's been such of, because it's such an old question and everyone asks this question, and even the fear of being left behind or when is it coming? Because when we hear rapture, we hear a lot of suffering. We hear that there's going to be just a lot of suffering. And a lot of people look for comfort in that, where they're like, okay, like how can we, you know, find comfort in that? Because it's not an easy thing to hear. And one thing is that sometimes we actually, well, not sometimes. We actually have to accept that, yeah, bad things are going to happen. We live in a fallen world. And it's just going to get worse from here, really. But, sorry to break it to you. But really, instead of focusing on the suffering, why don't we have the desperation to spread the gospel, the desperation to actually see people set free? And so I think that a lot of people focus on, okay, when is it coming? So I can like get everything done in time, so I can get married, so I can have kids just before Jesus comes back, you know, or like do all these things before Jesus comes back. But I think that our focus should not be Jesus suffering. Oh my goodness. Yes, we should have that in our minds, but that shouldn't be our fear. It should be we should have desperation to actually see people set free, because we don't want our neighbors to be left behind. We don't want anyone else to be left behind, even the people that we work with to be left behind. And so I think that there should be a focus or a shift of focus of, oh, when is it going to happen? More like we need to get things done now and like actually be shaken up by this and have that actual reverence and fear of the Lord, instead of like the terrifying fear of our suffering. Maybe I should go run and hide. But instead of, okay, we have to do something about this, we should actually, something that us Mexicans say is ponte las pilas. Put on your batteries. And so it's time to put on our batteries and actually get to work. Yeah. Should do something about
that's
it.
That's so funny.
And so I have, that's something that always comes into mind. Instead of just sitting around, I'm like, okay, well, maybe like tomorrow I'll tell like my friend who, you know, I've known for years, maybe finally tomorrow I'll tell them. Yeah. Why not today? Why not pray with them today? Or why not tell them about God today? You know, and so because we don't know the hour, we don't know the day, no one knows. And so,
and I feel like too, it's not about living in fear, right? Or we can't be living in the fear of when and what and the tribulation that's coming, but instead living in victory.
Come on.
Right? We should be living in a place where like the prophecy is there, and we've seen hundreds of prophecies fulfilled in the scriptures, and yes, prophets like, whoa, that's a dark prophecy and it's coming, and are we going to be alive for it? Hundreds of questions. Mm-hmm. But in reality, Luke 19:13 says, occupy till he comes. It's like we're meant to be present. Mm-hmm. And we're meant to be here today. And the worries of today are for today. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow will have its own. But right now we're meant to occupy. We're meant to live in faith, mm-hmm. to live in victory, and to just be that light and be that salt of the earth. And that's it. That's our calling. Yeah. It's not to worry about when.
Yeah.
It's to be salt, to be
light. So ponte las filas.
Come on, guys. Get to it.
That's good. All right. Well, we have another question. From Mendez, so another user submitted question, and they ask, how do I pray for my unbelieving spouse to be delivered from alcohol and cigarettes addiction and also have a sound mind? That's deep. So I was pondering upon this question when I read it, and I'm married, so I know what it's like to have a spouse, someone that you are meant to be one with, and you're one and you're meant to be in agreement and you're meant to walk together. And yes, there are times where some people have a spouse that is completely opposite of the way of the Lord or walking in their victory and their healing and in wholeness and soundness and of mind. And so one thing that is true of people in marriages, you can't change people, but you can pray for them. You can pray for them. And so one of the greatest victories that you can have is to be a praying spouse. And I found this article on the KCM website, kcm.org. And it is just prayer for my husband. And that's it. And the whole article is just a prayer. Like, it's just a prayer. And I wanted to read it because I think it's really special. And even if you aren't married or you don't have a husband or separated or are together or it's your wife or aren't there yet, I think that this prayer may apply. Maybe take wisdom of this prayer to other relationships. And a lot of parts in this prayer are by faith. So, speaking things that aren't as though they are. And so, let me read this prayer. And Mendez, I hope that you are listening. And I'll pray this prayer for your husband. But take this prayer. The link will be in the description. Pray for him. But it reads, Heavenly Father, I thank you for my husband and for the gift he is to my life. I thank you that he is a man of integrity and that our entire family is blessed to have him as our leader. I stand in faith believing that he has favor with you and every person with whom he comes in contact. I pray that he follows your command to love you with all his heart, all his soul, all his strength, and all his mind. And I stand in faith believing that he will trust you with every spiritual, emotional, physical, relational, and financial situation in his life and not lean on his own understanding, but instead he'll seek you in all he does, knowing that you will show him every step he should take. And I pray that he will have a deep desire to read, study, and meditate on your word so that he can apply it to every part of his life. And I also stand in faith that he loves those around him as himself, that he will clothe himself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and that he will always walk in forgiveness, never letting offense take root in his heart. I thank you, Father, that every need is met in my husband's life and that he walks in prosperity and the blessing. I recognize that every good and perfect thing in his life is from you. And I give you the glory for all that you have done and are continuing to do for him. I ask you to show me how to be the wife he needs me to be so that I can be a blessing to him. In Jesus' name, amen. And it has a couple of scriptures. Proverbs 3, 4, and 6, Psalm 19, 119, 14, and 16, Luke 10, 27, Proverbs 27, Colossians 3, 12 to 13, and Deuteronomy 2. And so the link is below. You can go take it, pray it. Yeah, I think, and I truly believe that prayer changes things and the power of the tongue to get life or death. And in this case, praying and speaking these things over your husband is one of the most powerful and impactful things that you can do. And whatever he's going through, whatever he's struggling with, whatever he's coping with, that your words will give life.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't underestimate prayer. Prayer should always be our first response when it comes to deep things for other people and even interceding for your spouse. You know, and actually standing in the gap for sometimes they can't even do it themselves, right? And so never underestimating the power of prayer, because you see it when you're consistent. Pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
Consistently.
Yeah, consistent. Exactly. So pray it daily, multiple times a day even. And that you'll see that the Lord will touch him and that he will come to life.
And believe it.
Yeah.
Believe it. Don't just say it just to say it. Believe it.
We're believing it with you, Mendez.
Yes. And we received another question from Elvis, and it says, how do you seek for a ministry direction? This is a great question, and I've actually have had this question growing up all the time, especially growing up in a Christian household, but also having parents that were really into the ministry, and so sometimes you're like, well, what are we going to do? What am I going to follow in the footsteps of my parents?
Yeah.
Or like, what does ministry look like? Or what is ministry? And so ministry is literally all it means is the act of serving. And so sometimes we think that ministry is, oh, being a pastor, doing evangelism, all these different things. And yes, that's a ministry for sure. But it doesn't always look like being on a pulpit. It doesn't look like being on a stage. It doesn't look like being on the streets with a megaphone. It looks very different for everyone because God has designed us so specific. And so when it comes to looking for direction, well, it's your response. Ministry is literally your response of what God has done for you, because we have to be careful when we look from ministry, things that involves ministry, is because sometimes people do it to not receive, but to feel like they deserve salvation instead of just like, oh, I need to do something because I feel like I need to prove myself worthy. But really, that's not the case. It's actually your response to what Jesus has done for us. And so it, from the outpouring of what God has given us, we serve. And so for full direction, pray. As a response, pray. Lord, I want to serve you. How does that look like? Because ministry can simply look like talking to your friends about Christ. It could literally look like serving people. Like, hey, can I like help you move? You know, people moving houses nowadays because it's sunny summer. So people might need help moving. Or like, that's ministry. It's pouring the love of God, sharing the gospel. It doesn't look like stages, mics, microphones, being on camera. But it's the response. And so seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, keep seeking his face, seek the kingdom above all else. And he will give you direction and he will pour the desires of his heart, of his will into you. And even like your desires are going to be his desires, they're going to match. And so you're even going to want to do it for him even more. And you're actually going to fall in love with what you do for him because you know that you don't need to do it to prove something, but you do it because you already have it. And there's such a difference in that.
It reminds me of encountering Jesus, the disciples. They encountered him.
Yeah.
And they wanted to serve. And they did anything, anything and everything that was for Jesus. And even after he was gone, they had ministries and they preached the word and they sent it all around and they would have their own, you know, churches and speak and share and their own meetings and preach it on the streets and heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. And they were just doing it and they served because they encountered Jesus. And I feel like that's one of the things too. If you're looking for direction, seek the Lord, yes, encounter Jesus. And encountering Jesus isn't like an accident that happens on a Friday night meeting. It is something that is intentional when you go and you spend time with the Lord and you put yourself in a place where you're like, I'm here and I want to encounter you, Jesus. So just do that. Encounter the Lord. Encounter Jesus and you will see that you will be touched so much that you're going to want to spread this everywhere. And however way it looks like, through pastoral, through evangelism, through sharing, through speaking, through a bowl of soup that you deliver to someone who's sick.
Mm-hmm. Or pies.
Or pies. Or pie. Yeah. Or little scriptures on the bottom of cups at In-N-Out. All of that is ministry, is serving.
It could look so, it's so simple and it could be so creative. You don't have to like do like what everyone does, but do it in your own way. God has created us so specific and so different for a reason.
That's right.
And so especially like, if you guys haven't seen the other episode, like with you with film, how God has given you the gifting of making videos and communicating that way. And for other people with painting or more creative things or writing, people, God has created people so specific for a specific thing. Like God is so creative too. And just like, oh my goodness, like we don't have to look the same. And I think that's where it's fun. I think people get that mixed up all the time where it's like, oh, I have to go on the streets and like hold a megaphone and like do all these things. Unless God has called you to do that, do it. But it could look so different.
I heard it once said that we are need meters. So we meet the need. And we are designed to do that in one way or another, in some form or fashion, in whatever way that we were created to. And we are meant to meet the needs of those around us. But it's going to look different. It's going to look special for each and every person. And every platform that there is, podcasts, you know, videos and audio, radio, all of that was people meeting the needs of others. And so now it's like, what new thing could you create to meet those needs? What new systems? What new organizations? Samaritan's Purse, KCM, all these ministries. Like, how can you deliver the good news and serve?
It's so good.
Come on.
Yeah. And like God uses our stories as well. Like one thing that a friend of mine always has told me is that your biggest struggles could be your biggest ministry, where things that you struggled with and how God delivered you from that, God will use that for your ministry. It'll be your key, and it's key and people need it. And so whoever is listening to this and you have a testimony that God has saved you from something, use it for his kingdom. Use it as a platform for God to be glorified. Testify of his goodness.
That's good. Man.
Come on.
We have a question from OJ.
OJ.
Imagine you can send any three books back in time to yourself so you read them years earlier. Which three are you choosing?
Oh my goodness. Wow. There's so many good books out there. And I think that one of my, or top three would have to be The Ultimate Treasure Hunt. This is like The Power of Evangelism, but prophetic evangelism, where you pray and ask the Lord for the ultimate hidden treasure, which is people, and actually going out and seeking these hidden treasures and actually like, and evangelize to them very specifically. And it's so beautiful to see how the Lord meets those people in those places very specifically because God has been thinking about them. And so it has changed my way of how I evangelize even. And so it's one of the books for sure. And I would read it again and again and again. It makes me cry every time. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, it makes me cry because you can feel the power of how God just knows everyone so specifically and so detailed. Like, one person that I've encountered, because I've applied this to my life. I tried it out, and the Lord gave me a word for a girl. And I remember I wrote it down. I made sure to write it down so they wouldn't think, oh, this girl's crazy, like, whatever. But I wrote it down, and one of the, like I guess, hints, you can say, was the Lord gave me a girl with a red jacket and a blue hat. And we went in a group, and we went. And we evangelized, and I think it was in Walmart. It was in Walmart, and we were looking for this specific person. And I found this girl wearing the red jacket and the blue hat. And I went up to her, and I'm like, hey, I was trying to be funny. And so I was like, hey, you're my hidden treasure. And she was like, I don't think I'm part of that. You know, I was like, that's kind of weird. And I was like, no, I actually was praying for, I was praying, and the Lord put you in my heart. And I actually wrote it down on this piece of paper with the time and day. So you know that it wasn't random. This was so specific. And she looked at me, she's like, okay. Like, she was very confused, but went on. And I told her, I was like, can I pray for you? The Lord has really put you in my heart, and I actually really want to just bless you with a prayer. And she's like, okay. And so I prayed for her, and some prophetic words came up, and she just started crying. And she's like, wow, like, it's so interesting, because I grew up Christian, and I've always asked God for a sign I wasn't sure if it was real. And I even asked God for a sign, but that was years ago. And here you are now. And I'm pretty sure this is the sign. And so I give her a hug. I invited her to church, and I just I got her information and everything like that. But it just shows how God knows these people by name, by their situation, knows them specifically. And so really that book has changed my life. And I wish I read it a lot sooner so I could do this a lot sooner.
Treasure.
The ultimate treasure. Your ultimate treasure. And so it's really good.
Cool. Yeah. That's awesome. I have one called The Bible.
Oh, nice.
I read it way early. Not on the side. Okay, so I'm a Bible nerd. The Book of Enoch is one that I wish I would have read earlier.
Okay.
Because I feel like it expanded the word. And so, and I said the Bible too, because I wish I would have read this cover to cover way earlier than I did. I think I did that when I was 25, 24. But even the experience of reading it cover to cover is sometimes you go to church, you have your couple, cute Bible verses that you read, and you're like, oh yeah, I'll read, New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, that's it. But reading a cover to cover really helped find the heart of God through time. I feel like I felt and I saw the heart of God throughout history, and how much it was the same. And even though the Old Testament's so weird sometimes, but how much it stays the same throughout time, how redemption comes to people every time, how God is a God of second chances, but every time that you fail, it's always your first chance. He's a God of second chances all the time.
Oh, nice.
So it's like you see that all through history, and it's just so this cover to cover way sooner, but also Enoch, such a good book. Also highly recommend. Wish I read it earlier. There's a book called The Reset. So this is another one for me, by Jeremy Riddle. And it's this book about church and how this worship culture and this, Grammy worship culture and the worship genre is not supposed to be a genre, it's supposed to be a heart posture. And these songs that maybe are written in a ways that how can people get the hook? How can people get, and it's like it's meant to be a song for God. And so it's like this reset on church, on worship. Really good.
So good.
But then there's also a book called The Disconnected Man.
Ooh.
So moving a little bit, yes, there's ministry books. There's this book called The Disconnected Man that I read, and I wish I read it years earlier. The man is Christian, so there's a couple of God items in there, but it's meant to help with emotional awareness for men. Men are known to be somewhat disconnected and find ways to cope with substances and these ways to not be emotionally present. And it creates divorce because a marriage is a covenant that is connected through emotion and through soul tie. And when you don't have emotion in your soul tie, then it begins to separate and split and tear apart. And so there would be many less divorces if men were just emotionally aware and emotionally present. And so this book honestly like opened my eyes to that. And it's like, whoa, like a man can be emotionally present. And so it's a really good read. I wish I read it way earlier to have been a better husband way earlier on in marriage. So by Jim Turner, a really good book.
That's good. I read my other two books, but the other two were Supernatural Ways of Royalty by Chris Ballatin. This one I actually was forced to read because I went to school ministry. I had to read it, but it was a great read. It really changed my perspective on my identity in looking at myself as royalty instead of just a servant of God. And so highly recommend. It really changes your perspective on how you see yourself and how you even do things, because sometimes like you do things and you're like, do I even deserve this? You know, do I do this? Or like, you know, like you actually learn so much about yourself based on how you see yourself as royalty or as a servant. And so it really shifts your perspective. So I highly recommend. And then there's another book that really shifted my way of seeing God. And that is Holier Than Thou by Jackie Hill Perry. Now this book changed my way of seeing God, and it was so good. And it really talks about God's holiness and how he never stops being holy. Now the reason why I say this is because something that she briefly mentioned, or not briefly, she really dives into it, but I'll briefly mention, is that we see that God is all these different things. Like God, yes, God is holy. But he's also a judge, but he's also good. He's also all these different things, but really all these things, he is a judge. Yeah. But it's more like judge meaning just, he is just, but more just as him.
Yeah.
All these things are actually him and not he is these things. But also he never stops being holy. When people are like, oh yeah, God is so good. And it doesn't mean, yes, he is good, but it doesn't mean he stops being just or he stops being holy or he stops being all these things. But really he's all those things together. And it really broke my mind because I'm like, wait, right. Because he is a divine judge, but he's also like really, really like merciful and graceful. And it's like he never stops being all these things at once. And it's like, it really just showed me how limited my brain is because I just see how God is just so good and so big and just so, we make it so complex, but it makes sense at the same time.
Yeah.
And so it's such a great read. I loved how she worded everything. She's a great writer. And so definitely wish that I could have read that book a lot sooner because I'm like, wow. So like this is our God.
Yeah.
Like, he is so big.
It's so, I think about this a lot. I love to think.
Really?
And I think about that a lot of how God is, okay, how we're these beings created by God. We're these three-dimensional beings. And it's like we're we try to understand something that's four-dimensional. Even, I don't know, but probably even fifth-dimensional. But like he's above and beyond what we could even understand. So yeah, we can go our whole lifetimes trying to understand God, and we will continue to discover new things because he is so much more far infinite than what we can understand. So I just love that. I just love thinking about that. So when you think about us, whoa, there's a lot to know about God still.
Yeah, like you're not gonna know everything. We don't even know what's in the sea. Yeah. How are we going to know everything about God, you know? And so it's so awesome. It's just so mind-blowing on how great our God is. And so, yeah.
Come on. All right. Well, that being said, there's one way I want to transition, which is there's a book that I've actually been reading from our new 20-step course. or 20-step spiritual action plan. And funny enough, I'm reading the relationship one right now. Also wish I would have read these books way sooner. They just went through a bit of a facelift, and they are a lot more, you know, aesthetic. But yeah, it was like, I need to read these, and I wish I would have read them earlier. They're so, so good. We're actually going to give one away to one of the Q&A people that submitted a question for this episode. So the winner is right here. And yeah, congratulations. We'll be sending that to you. So keep an eye on your email.
Yeah.
And now it's time for verse check.
Verse check. All right, guys. If you haven't, if you guys haven't seen our previous Q&A, but we started this new segment called verse check. Now, verse check is basically just a list or just a whole bunch of day-to-day life situations. And we have a different response to every situation. And our response could literally be run away, hide, or... how about we read from the word? Because the word has a response to literally everything. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, let me know what verse you would use in this situation. Mm-hmm. So this is from a situation from our prayer book.
Okay.
So you've read the Bible. You've read your Bible every day this month, and you still feel nothing. No presence, no voice, nothing. Okay. What verse would you respond?
You know what? There's two that come up to mind, but I think we're going to go with an example from Exodus 33. Now,
what is an Exodus 33?
Exodus 33, there's a specific verse that comes up to mind. And it's actually something like a heart posture that I always like to have. This literally could mean anything to a lot of people. But Exodus 33, it would be... Exodus 33 verse 11. And it says, "The Lord will speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, will not leave the tent." Now, this is so interesting because, yes, you read the word every day. A lot of people say, we worship or we read the word or we pray and we don't feel the presence. We don't hear a voice, nothing. But I love the example of this where I would like, if I was in the situation, I would want to be like Joshua, to remain in the tent, to continue and to stay there. And it's a mindset that I would always like to have, because something is that we're human, we have feelings. We should never depend on our feelings. Our feelings are great helpers, but they're not great leaders. And so something that I love about this verse is that Joshua just remained in the tent. He remained in the tent and he remained in God's presence. Who knows if he felt it or not? I bet he did, because it was the meeting place, right? But remaining there. And to continue remaining there, even though if you don't feel anything, because it's not about us. A lot of times it's not about us. We have to remember that God also receives when we are with him. That sometimes he kind of likes to test us. And he's like, are you only here just to receive my presence? Are you only here just like, you know, for these things? Or can I also receive from you? One thing is that I believe that God's love language is quality time. It's us spending time with him, even though we might not feel like we receive anything or we hear his voice. And I could imagine from like a perspective of the father where it's like, they just like hanging with you, even though they don't receive like candy from you. They're just there because they know that they like being with you. And I think that's a lot more precious to have that mindset. And so to really see your iPod like that.
I'm telling you, as a father now, it's like I love spending time with our kids. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing more sweet than just being in the same room. Mm-hmm. Even if we're not interacting, but just being in the same room is nice.
Yeah.
Within itself. Mm-hmm. But even when we're, you know, watching a movie or anything and they want to cuddle, they want to come and lay their head on you. And it's just so sweet. So just being together, being close. And it's not like we're talking, which talking is also awesome. And I love it. Even when they're venting, it's nice. But yeah, just being together now, thanks to Jesus that, you know, changed that perspective that he's a father. It's like, all right, that kind of helps. That kind of helps into how we can relate with them and be with them. And all right, let's be with them like the father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And be in close proximity there. And I think that we should shift our mindset to that.
Yeah. And you will be changed too as you read, even if you don't feel anything, continue reading. Because when you're in a hard situation and something worse from this bowl of situations, you know, happens, you won't run. You'll go to the word because you've been reading it and it's going to stick. What comes out when you're squeezed? Well, thank you for joining us on this Q&A episode. You can submit your questions at victorypodcast.ca/ask.
Yes, right. And ask away, and then possibly you can win in the giveaway as well.
Yeah.
No, it's very exciting. We would love to hear your questions. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Audi from Langley, British Columbia. This podcast is made possible by partners like me. When you partner with KCM, you are helping send free resources like this podcast to people around the world. Find more faith-filled resources at kcmcanada.ca.